Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we have a dirty section chief that kills Bourne's girl. Bourne comes back for revenge, tapes Abbott's confession, and Abbott commits suicide. Now Bourne's gunning for us. You couldn't make this stuff up. Bourne's last confirmed location was Moscow 6 weeks ago.
Right.
He's on the run. He's dangerous.
Well, sir, with respect, I think something else could be going on here.
What the hell just happened?
This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, and welcome to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. This is episode 619. I'm Scott Johnson, joined today by Brian. Don't worry, Jason. We all look stupid on a Vespa. Dunaway.
No, just you, Matt Damon. Oh, hi. Hi. This week on Film Sack, we were born ready when we were given the ultimate ultimatum to shoot over to the streaming service formerly known as HBO Max, you know, before it was reprogrammed to kill by suck by an old white guy. And we're going to lay down an everything is a weapon style book beating upon this action thriller from 2007 to uncover the truth about what makes Julia Stiles smiles at the end. Spoiler, everybody dance now. Anywho, I locked myself in my closet full of retro technical antiquities because, you know, who is chasing me? There, you know who is chasing me. You know who it is. And I have some very damning documents that need to be made public right now. No, I'm not paranoid. You aren't paranoid enough. Now, let's see. Do I get this info out there quickly before I am caught? I got a government-issued Motorola flip phone. Hello, Moto. No, they can track that. I got a BlackBerry that my family ironically calls my CrackBerry. No, I don't have a problem, but no you. Anyway, no service. And a fax machine from the 80s. Ah, yes, the good old dependable fax machine, as reliable as the CIA agents monitoring this podcast. Yep. Once them beeps and boops start, there is no stopping that data. Nope. Game over, dude. From Northern Exposure. You been got, sucker. Uh-oh. Mom, get off the phone. I'm trying to fax. Randy, activate the asset. Heavy on the ass.
Yeah.
Motor scooter go. Brrr, boom.
Wow. Hell of an intro as usual. That one is particularly all over the place, and I love it.
All over the place. I was scattershot like this film.
I like it. Also with us, Randy, it's nice to see King Viserys getting reporter work. Wow. Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Randy. All right, I want everyone to drop what you're doing and listen up. This is a Code Red number 10 food coloring book fair situation. We have the most dangerous man in the history of the world that is this Earth, as far as we know, in the entire universe, chilling out and not really bothering us, so we have to go hard and take him down. I said go hard. So let's insta-hack every camera in a city filled with cameras, and let's insta-read all of the files that you're allowed to read. And let's insta-boil some insta-noodles in insta-kitchen over there, because, you know, I'm hungry. And three rules. Number one, refer to everyone by their last names, except when you need to speak about some swarthy pit fighter that you employ to kill people and drives a motor scooter. That guy can only be called the asset. Number two, convince yourself that each successive guy called the asset is actually capable of killing Superman, because if they don't, they're dead and Super Damon is coming after you. Number three, the mysterious hero will absolutely always work with an attractive woman as soon as he gets a chance. Never in the history of agents like this, traveling across Europe and Northern Africa in cars that have the steering wheel on the right side, have any of them ever taken a buddy who was a dude. So find the girl. She'll have a pensive look on her face and she'll say practically nothing and she'll do practically nothing. So why is she even in the mix? I don't know. I just know I want to be that guy's buddy. Why don't I get to be the buddy? I'm going to go have some noodles.
Noodles. I like it. Also with us finally, Brian. Jesus Christ, it's Brian Ibbitt.
Jesus Christ. Scott, put down that Oreo. I'm watching through your window. All right. A lot of people are going to complain that this one sounds a little bit too much like Ultimatum Yourself by Madonna, but here it goes. I said, here it goes. I said, here it goes. The director told me when I was hired, you've got to track down Jason Bourne. He's got no memory of his previous life, and it makes him quite forlorn. We've got him pinned down in a shopping mall by Sbarro in the food court. The shaky camera got us all messed up. I guess this time we must abort. He'll hit you with a book, then punch you through that book. We're on the right track. Maybe I saw Bourne go this way. I've got him on the phone. He knows I'm all alone. He's on the rooftop. Baby, I saw Bourne go this way. You're gonna let him get away. We won't find him another day. Maybe I saw Bourne this way. You've got to search without delay. I don't care that it's Saturday. We're on the right track. Maybe I saw Bourne go this way. Don't run away. Just tie your shoes. Go right three steps. Now tie your shoes. Now turn around and tie your shoes. Don't mention Blackbriar. Wait, did somebody say Blackbriar?
Somebody said Blackbriar?
Tell me who said Blackbriar. He's got an agent helping him hide out. She's giving him a secret code. That ain't his birthday, that's our main address. Now we've hit the mother load. 100 agents stationed, all well trained. In half a click, we'll have our guy. He used a key card and he walked right through. There ain't no I in FBI. He's driving a police car. I swear he won't get far. We're on the right track. Maybe I saw Bourne go this way. Off the roof he will drive, unhurt and completely alive. He's on the rooftop. Baby, I saw Bourne go this way. You're gonna let him get away. We won't find him another day. Maybe I saw Bourne this way. You've got to search without delay. I don't care that it's Saturday. I'm on the right track. Maybe I saw Bourne go this way. I saw Bourne go this way. I saw Bourne go that way. We're on the right track. Maybe I saw Bourne go this way. I saw Bourne go this way.
Hey, I saw Bourne go that way.
We're on the right track. Maybe I saw Bourne this way. Hey.
Holy shit. Holy shit at the end there. Good Lord. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you very much.
I don't want to know how long that took you, because that was the last part you had to have the beast.
I finished up 10 minutes before we started recording.
Wow.
That's
just
why
one more thing.
Go, yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, I want to do the Blackbriar thing. Have that thing in the middle. And then oh, we got to do double vocals on this last part.
Nice.
And,
yeah.
You could have just wienered out the end, but you decided to go so freaking hard.
I decided to go for it. Yeah.
You went Jason Bourne level of crazy.
Yeah. They won't all be
2 minutes, 44 seconds long.
We'll see. Wow. We'll see the response first, and then we'll make a decision.
Then we'll make a decision, exactly. That was fantastic.
I got to pad out the album with some longer songs. That's the problem.
That's right. Yeah. When's this hitting? When do we have a big date for the hot new
The release? New album's going to just announced on the VMAs. The new album is going to drop on May 19th. No, I don't know. I don't have any plans.
We got to give it a name, too. That's the other thing. Something cool.
Well, and we're going to have to let Lady Gaga know. She just needs to.
She needs to know.
To know. Do we need to? Do we need to let Madonna know too?
No,
I think so.
Okay, no. All right.
No, yeah. Never letting
only
Madonna.
If you want
know
those anything. Arms to come get you.
Yeah, they're terrible. Those things will kill you. Yeah. Well, as you can tell, we're talking about a Bourne movie, and in particular, the Bourne Ultimatum. This is the second to last. I always think it's the last, but it's the second to last Bourne movie featuring Jason Bourne.
Okay, there we go.
Right. We got one in between.
Yeah. I was getting ready to push up my glasses. Yeah.
Well, actually, Scott, what we have in between is one with him in a picture on a desk.
Yeah. So there's two more, technically, I guess.
Right.
And
probably not any more for Film Sack. I feel like we've reached a good conclusion.
Maybe.
Yeah, because I watched this the whole time going, we've seen this one. No, we haven't. We've seen this one. Yes, we have. Yes, we have.
I might watch that. I wouldn't mind watching that one with Renner. I like that movie. I know people are weird on it, but I think that Jeremy Renner movie is actually pretty good. It's decent.
I need to see it again, and I don't think I've ever seen the just Jason Bourne, the one just titled Jason Bourne.
Yeah, the latest one.
The 2016 one. Also, Paul Greengrass, kind of the same writers. Everybody's back together to make that one, but it's not as regarded as this one. This one is considered the best of all of them, and it is also the only one to win or even be nominated and also win a couple of Academy Awards, mostly technical stuff.
Editing was amazing in this film. If you haven't, if you just stop and go, oh wow, look at this editing. That's what this movie's about. Otherwise, it looks like the other ones.
Yep, it does a lot like the other ones. And this is,
I feel like it had a much tighter and real story, like a story that I could understand and follow.
Yeah.
Well, it is also because, you know, as the saying goes, the movie's always green grass on the other side.
I see what you did. There goes one of my titles.
I've been waiting for
you. I know you've been waiting for a lyric. you didn't get enough lyrics out.
Just waiting for a setup.
Didn't get enough wordplay already.
Not nearly enough. I have so many bullets in this barrel ready to fire.
Yeah. Gotta spend all your ammo today. Let's let Fletcher explain this movie. And it is actual Scott Fletcher. He recorded this months ago.
Nice,
because we were going to watch this before, and then it got pulled, and we pushed it, and now we're back. So here it is:
The Bourne Ultimatum. Jason Bourne dodges a ruthless CIA official and his agents from a new assassination program while searching for the origins of his life as a trained killer.
His life. I like that part.
Life. That's much better. I love that.
The Bourne Ultimatum.
Yeah.
Not that I don't appreciate the other one, but that.
Well, yeah, but that's the idea. You play the shitty ones, and then the idea is you're driving, you know, you're herding Fletcher back onto his mic is the idea.
That's right. Plus, you appreciate Fletcher so much more after hearing the other guy.
Yeah.
If you had told me before watching this movie that it's one man against one agency, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we're going to have Jason, Matt Damon, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that the agency was going to have four different stars, like boss levels. I wouldn't have believed you. I would have been like, no. The whole thing about these stories is that he has an enemy. He identifies a guy that he needs to get, you know, to the bottom of something with. Not that Joan Allen and David Strathairn and Scott Glenn and Albert Finney would all be. It was just like, wow, they really think that this agency could have a lot of competing and conflicting characters here.
Bosses and mini bosses, man. That was the deal. Plus you had the Bourne like people, the other robot men.
The assets. Oh, the Admiral loved every one of the assets, even though they all look the same. But whatever, they're all assets.
They all had short hair.
They all got short hair, right? Little facial hair stubble. They all I guess they were all sitting around in their hotel rooms going, well, I guess this is my life now. Motorola phone
for a call.
Staring at the wall.
Yep.
They only ever hire brunettes.
True story.
Sitting around waiting for a phone call. Get the call. Yep. Go get the thing. Kill it. Come back. Sit in your hotel room. Stare at the wall somewhere. Mm-hmm, that's the deal.
This is the best job.
It's fascinating. Now, I made the mention earlier, but I just wanted to shout out one more time that King Viserys, a.k.a. I forgot the actor's name. Hold on.
Paddy Considine.
Paddy Considine's in this, and I love that guy. and he can do no wrong for me. He's great in everything. We loved him in Hot Fuzz right here on Film Sack. He's comedic. He's dramatic. He's all those things. And I think killing him early, sucks ass. I think he should have stayed longer.
But I think I loved his character, but man, I love how he died. And I think part of that is because his character was so, I'm going. He was like a rabbit. And he was like, I gotta go.
Okay, yeah. But you see a Superman disable four people right in front of you.
Yeah.
And those four people were all trying to kill you. And then you don't do whatever that man tells you to do.
Exactly. Whatever. Like, I am going to glue myself to freaking Superman. Like, I see him do that. Yeah. It's like, great. How can I get even closer? Can I ride on your back?
Dude, he works for The Guardian. He's a journalist and also a huge skeptic. He don't believe shnikes. He don't believe nothing.
This is a trope called too dumb to live, of course.
Yeah.
And we've seen it so many times, but like this one, I was just screaming. I was screaming.
Love that. That actually meant that the character was very effective. And that was, if I'm screaming at the screen, you have
not just effective, but it's relatable. I feel like a lot of people would go through that process and then they would be in this hairy moment and go, I'm just going. I'm going.
It's just so close. I can make it. I can. It's good. I could do it.
Yeah.
I'm not useless.
I can feel that. It's like a fight or flight kind of feeling of go, you know? Mm-hmm. And I
go, you can do it.
My problem is I'd freak out and be like, tie your shoes. Which shoe?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, there was no way he could talk me through anything. I can't hear shit in serious drama situations. There's no way. I'm like,
locked your left. Crap, which way is left?
According to the trivia, they were really banging into people in there because they couldn't get the filming or, you know, the clear the place out and have extras things. Yeah. So a lot of people are pointing at cameras if you pay real close attention.
Yeah, they look. It's hilarious. Yeah. You see him looking and staring. What the hell are you doing?
Yeah, what's going on here? They're probably a little bit freaked out, you know? I don't know how you get away with that. Yeah. I don't know where that was, that particular scene. I don't know where that was filmed. That may have been London. That may have been somewhere else.
That's a good question because every one of these Bourne films is a globetrotter, right?
I want to say it was Waterloo Station. I was reading the production on this thing and
probably was.
Let's see here. Yeah. But there were other things like they used a lot of, here we go. Tangier, London, Paris, Madrid, as itself, and then Madrid also doubled for Turin. Berlin doubled as Moscow. Big shout out to Baron Zemo. Didn't get to see him dance, but that's okay.
That's a shame.
Let's see. It doesn't say in the Wikipedia. It must be in the trivia of the IMDb page saying where the what station they used. Here it is.
Yeah, Waterloo Station for that one, and then. I guess there's a whole sequence of him at the very, very beginning where he jumps on a train and then jumps off the train. And that was Charing Cross Station.
Oh, interesting.
That was, by the way, strong beginning, this movie.
I felt like I was one of those things where it's like, now we tune into our regular scheduled program already in progress.
Right.
Hit the ground running. No setup, no quiet moment. Exactly. It was just like, go. Yeah. The most quiet moment in the whole film is also the only time you see Jason Bourne smile. And it's not even from this movie. It's a flashback to the 2002 movie where he's smiling with his German girlfriend. This entire movie, again, according to trivia, and I looked really close. I never saw it. He never cracked a smile again in that entire
film. And so I want to, this one, or was it won, I think, for editing, right? And it shows. I didn't even know it won for editing. And I was like, man, this is some.
It won three. One was editing, one was sound editing, and the other one, I don't know what the third one was.
They killed it.
So film editing, sound editing, and sound mixing.
Sound mix, that's what it was. Okay.
By the way, this movie has bookends.
Nah, the ones you get beat up with or just stories at each end?
Floating.
It has two kinds of bookends.
Yeah. Right.
basically, it starts with him, being sort of kind of captured by some folks. And he ends up in a standoff with a policeman. Who's like saying, don't shoot me. And he has to make the decision to not pull the trigger. And it ends with him pointing a gun at an agent that he, they have their little exchange, and it ends with Bourne not pulling the trigger.
I feel like shooting Albert Finney point blank in the face means you're going to have a way bigger mess to clean up, because it's Albert Finney. That guy looks like he is made of like viscera and flesh balls. And if you blow his face away, that whole room is red. Don't do it. Don't shoot Albert
Finney. The character is evolving, right? The character is taking back control of their life because he's been forced essentially to kill. And now he's making decisions. And he's even asked the question to one of the other assets right before he shot. So that's the really good character development in this story. Also, I love some of the characters too, like the Albert Finney character.
Yeah, he's great.
I love that he's kind of a mix of something that we all can relate to and also something larger. You know, we all have the paranoia of someone controlling our lives, like at a governmental level or Illuminati, whatever. Anyway, but it also kind of reflects a little bit of a father thing where it's kind of like, get out of my head, Dad. You've really scarred me for life, and I dug it. I liked it a lot. We've seen this story. We've seen that character type before, but it was played really well here by Albert Finney.
Yeah, the Brian Cox thing kind of, you know, was a little bit of that in the first movie.
Yeah,
But Albert Finney always looks like he really opens his mouth to enunciate. And it always looks like he shouldn't sound as clear as he does. Like they must come in with some ADR because it looks like, hey,
you're not wrong. He's great, though. He's like such an old school. I mean, I think he's Irish. I think he is. I think that's right. I think the time I saw him where I loved him the most may have been Big Fish. He plays the old dying version of
did we ever do Big Fish here? That's the one, the Tall Tales story.
I love Big Fish, man. Love that. Big Fish is so good.
No, Scott. Finney is from Lancashire,
which
is just to the northwest of Manchester.
I might be confusing. Brian Cox is from Scotland. I mean, there's a group of actors. They're all, and it's funny you brought Brian Cox up because they're kind of in the same. They should all be hanging out. The Albert Finney, Brian Cox types. There's something about all those guys, but
Finney does sound like it's, you know, it's short for Finnegan or something, and that should be like he's a
Albert Finney. Yeah,
Albert Finney should be Irish.
Probably, you know, who I'm probably thinking of is the other dude who we just saw, Brendan Gleeson, and he's also in that category. Like all those guys, I'll take any of them. In fact, you know what? Put them all together, have them do a heist in Vegas. That's a movie.
Oh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
but they're not known for their stage enunciation.
No. They're not, but that's okay. Oh, and Albert Finney died. I didn't know that. He died in 2019.
Yeah, it looks like his last movie was in 2012.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. He was a little older, though. Born in 36. I don't know what
that was. And, you know, when he died, he turned into a big fish.
Yeah. A huge, huge fish. Nicely done. We mentioned Paul Greengrass directing here, Tony Gilroy, and Scott Z. Burns back writing. And you got your Matt Damon and all your other people. Joan Allen, bigger role this time. I really like David Strathairn in pretty much everything ever.
Yeah.
But I just saw him in a bit role on The Sopranos, and he is the biggest dick in The Sopranos.
He plays it so well. He is just, something about him just makes it, you just love to hate him. He's such
I love that guy. He's awesome. I loved him in, what was it?
Northern Exposure. He was he Dead and Lost? William Meyer getting conflated with somebody else.
I don't know about Lost, but I know I just saw him in where everybody.
Was he Jack's dad? Who am I thinking of?
He was just in a couple of seasons of The Expanse and was fantastic on there.
Right.
If you look at his IMDb photo, though, I have questions. Is it because he was playing a CIA agent here and that's why there's like a computer box over his face that's like identifying who he is? Because if you go look at his photo, why does he have this red box around his face? What's that about?
That's a good question. It's like somebody took a screenshot of the facial record. I see a face, and then he just did a screenshot.
That's what I'm saying. It's like zoom and enhance kind of face. I don't know why that's there. He's a big, prestigious actor. Why has your photo got red square on it?
It's like your iPhone is saying, I detect a face here.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. He's great, though. Good night. Good luck. He's amazing. If anyone's never seen that, you should. 2005.
He's been in so much stuff.
Fantastic in that. Just a good actor and a guy I'm Nightmare always happy Alley. To see. You know, just put him
that
on.
That was good. Yeah. Did you guys see Nightmare Alley? We need to watch that.
Totally. We could totally watch Nightmare Alley. Yeah, that was great.
I have not seen it yet. I would watch it here if you guys wanted. Sounds like Halloween-y.
Bunch of carnies.
Del Toro. Yep.
Yeah, actually, it would be a good thing. Would be a good.
Oh, that'd be a really good October. Halloween film.
Yeah. I don't know if that's going. If it is, it's probably on H or on Max. HBO Max.
Prime.
Max.
It looks, I don't know. More watch options.
Who knows?
Prime, Amazon.
Also, Matt Damon and Scott Glenn. This is their second time to the rodeo. They were in Courage Under Fire in 1996 together. And I think our chick in the bucket today, hold on, right here.
Grab a bucket.
Is Scott Glenn. He's one of my favorite character actors ever, and I love that guy, and I'll watch him in anything. But he comes in here, seems like a big bad for a bit, has a final phone call, and then we're done. That's the end of Scott Glenn. Mm-hmm. We don't talk about him anymore. No one brings him up anymore. We show everyone else getting arrested.
Yeah, not Ezra Kramer. No, he's above the law.
He's sidelined by the script, right? It specifically takes him out of like New York altogether.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that way you have a person who knows a lot and has some authority, but doesn't get involved in all of the nonsense at the end of the movie, who you can then count on to be part of like the prosecution of these people who are wrong. Right. And this movie ends with everybody is now in trouble. Like what's her name? Joan Allen's character, like huge trouble, right? Yeah. Because she's basically committed treason here. Mm. And
by faxing stuff.
Right. So by having Scott Glenn's character sort of off to the side, you have a person who can.
He's like the horror survivor, right? He's going to be. He'll be back next time. I have not read the books. According to what I had read, the Bourne Ultimatum movie is not related to the Bourne Ultimatum book. I guess that's what Jason.
None of them are. They're all poorly adapted, according to Ludlum and whoever else says stuff about this. They always say it's not. You know,
we just let Matt Damon do whatever the hell he wants.
I think
wants.
They just
we
did.
Don't care.
It's like a lot of stuff. You adapt it and make it more movie-ish, and I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, everyone I've talked to who's read those books says these movies are nothing like the books. But
I am just amazed. And it's Eric von Lustbader, by the way, for all of these.
Lustbader?
Yeah.
That's an unfortunate name. It sounds like.
I'm just amazed that Robert Ludlum wrote three books about this guy. And then died, and Eric von Lustbader took over and wrote like 14 books.
Yeah.
So I don't know why. I
didn't know that. Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah.
To be a writer and get to take over a really popular thing. My memory of like reading them when I was in college was that at least Bourne Identity and Bourne Supremacy were like really popular novels.
Right. Yeah. Those were huge at one time. I just remember that the more controversial one, the ones the nerds get upset about, is when someone takes over a fantasy writer's project. So when Wheel of Time got taken over by Sanderson, everyone loved Sanderson, still does. Mm-hmm. But when he died and he took over, it's all I heard about. It's like I didn't want to even read the books because the controversy would be too much in my head while I read them.
Right.
It's like, should anyone take over? Not Arthur C. Clarke. Who did Dune? When Frank Herbert's son drew, you know, started writing those books, that's weird.
Now the son is different. I kind of feel different about it when the writer is the children.
Familiarly related.
I feel different about it. It doesn't seem like as much of a money grab. It's just like, this is our family treasure.
Yeah.
And I'm just carrying
you've,
on.
You've, yeah. Right, exactly. It's like you've inherited.
Right.
Writing this. I'm trying to remember the names of some of the writers who took over after Ian Fleming when the Bond novels continued. I can't, but that was again another, there'd be a monster shoes to fill.
Yeah, let's see.
Monster shoes.
Here's some. So Ian Fleming, obviously. Jonathan Cape, is that one of the names? Oh no, that's publisher. Hold on.
Making up names now, Scott.
No, I was just trying to find if we.
How about Jonathan Ryder?
There was one.
Jonathan Apple.
Oh, here's a whole bunch. So from 69 to 79, there's Colonel Sun was by Kingsley Ames as Robert Markham. So he had a fake name. John Pearson, Christopher Wood did the last two. Oh, the Moonraker novelization.
The novelizations. Oh,
that's
the
novelization.
Yeah,
right.
Those are different.
Yeah, that's a reverse.
The new Bond books that I remember were written by a guy named John Gardner.
Yes, John Gardner. That was the name I was trying to remember. And Jeffrey Deaver. Those are the two.
Why did names make me laugh?
I don't know.
Jeffrey Deaver.
Yeah. License to Kill and
6 years old or something.
License to Kill and Nobody Lives Forever are John Gardner's. Oh no, License to Kill was a novelization, but the other one was.
I love that you keep coming back. Well, it's novelization.
So he was doing both. He mixed around. So did this Raymond Benson feller. He worked till 2002. He would do Tomorrow Never Dies novelization, but he also did Zero Minus 10, which was a new book, and High Time to Kill. How many times can you take your word salad?
Yeah, exactly. Has to be kill.
Right.
I had a John Gardner Bond book, like a paperback. It was called Never Send Flowers. And I carried that thing around. So like, I never finished it.
Well, oh, about to say, so you don't know why you never send flowers then?
No.
No, it never got to the end where it explains it. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
By the way, there have been.
Oh, that's why you never send flowers.
Because might be allergic.
There were two.
Might have bugs.
There were two. Well, okay. Since 2018, there have been three new books, including this year in May. There was a brand new book. I didn't know this. So Forever and a Day in 2018, With a Mind to Kill, 2022, and On His Majesty's Secret Service, 2023. Not hers, but his.
Is that an adaptation? His. Okay.
Yeah. So that's the difference. And that was
glad to see that's finally.
That just happened. That was
updated for
his King, pleasure. Her pleasure.
Yeah, for King Charles.
There's also a Bond is Missing series that's coming out like currently.
I didn't know this is crazy.
Yeah,
they just giving away the story right up top, right?
But it's this like series of books that are coming out right now where James Bond is missing, and so these you get to know these other 00 agents.
I mean, that's it sounds interesting. I just didn't know they were still pumping out material. I thought we were just looking at an old archive.
They're gonna milk
that.
That
feels like it would work. It feels like it would work a lot better than the Inspector Clouseau is missing. Let's do a movie with Ted Wass where he searches for Inspector Clouseau.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if it was my estate, if my grandpa had written a towering series of novels back in the day, I would be grasping for any money I could get.
Yeah.
I'd be out here like, who wants to write new books based on my grandpa's work?
I've got a lifestyle to upkeep. I've got a yacht to pay for. Come on.
Well,
I don't even know if I'd hold auditions. I just say, you can write one. I'll publish it.
Back to the Bourne Ultimatum. It strikes me that I absolutely just randomly ran into this chart, but this one is like smack in the middle of your movies, of your franchise, but way, way, way out front in terms of accolades, score, you know, audience approval and all of that. I think that's kind of unusual. I'm trying to think of another. Let's say another.
Part 3 being like this, that doesn't usually happen.
If it's the last one, sure. Like King, you know, Return of the King is considered by many anyway, to be the best of the Lord of the Rings films. So I can see that. But the fact that there was like a weird 4th thing and then there was technically a 5th one. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess, that just made it 5th. But anyway, just if you take that entire run and say, oh, the 3rd one is the best one, that just feels crazy. I don't know. Maybe it's like Empire Strikes Back.
I really feel like I heard that a lot after the 3rd John Wick movie. So I think it's not uncommon.
Interesting. Because
I think the 3rd Oceans movie, I think, is the best of the 3.
Yeah, I think since we're out of the temptation to make 3D movies match with the titles, the Bourne 3D Ultimatum,
This time it's personal.
Didn't a lot of people think the 3rd Indiana Jones movie was the best at the time?
At the time? I know people who still do. I think
still
people
do,
some people love that.
Do I love Raiders of the Lost Ark because of the nostalgia aspect or because it's a better movie than 3?
It's hard to say.
Because I would put it above 3, but I don't know why, because I love the Sean
Connery. We can all agree that Temple of Doom was different.
Well,
hit different.
It hit different, but I think it's a far better movie than people.
It's not the crap people give it.
Yeah.
And then just to make the counterpoint, I want to state we can all agree Iron Man 3 sucks.
Which one is
better
than
that
with all the Iron Man?
That is the one with the glowy, what is Extremis? And
I go 1-3-2 on that.
Yeah, I would too.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I think 2 is the worst by far. I think 2 is terrible.
But I just always need to justify what's his name, the wrestler,
Mickey Rourke.
I need to justify Mickey Rourke.
I like Mickey Rourke, and I don't. Yeah. I'm all about justifying.
The Whiplash stuff was great, and the what's his face Sam Rockwell stuff is great. But but I think 2 is an inferior movie compared to 1.
By the way, I just want to try to observe. I think the reason we're not talking so much about the details of the Bourne Ultimatum is because they don't really matter.
We've already seen this movie 3 times. I mean, right, Julia Stiles shows up, somebody's after him, but he's after them instead. Yeah. It's the same.
It's funny because I think that even though it feels like it is more of the same, right? Bourne Ultimatum just feels like more of the same. For whatever reason, it feels like it's done better. Somebody in the chat said that they thought that there was less shaky cam. I didn't see that. It still felt like the same amount of shaky cam to me as the beginning of the movie.
It was shaky, and I'm like, okay, I gotta prepare my eyes.
Well, the green grass shake, which is a very specific kind of shaky cam, that started in the film prior to this one, The Bourne Supremacy. But he wasn't there for the first one. That was Doug Liman, I think, was the name. Yeah, so different kind of shaky cam, but Bourne Supremacy was definitely shakier than this by my shaky memory. I could be wrong.
Okay, I need to watch a little movie clip or something to compare the two.
I think the quiet moments are way better than any of the rest of them. I mean, there are moments when they just take a pause and it's just perfect.
Well, and I think that it's better because you get answers like this, the questions that have been asked throughout the whole series, you get a lot of answers in this one, and the whole David Webb thing and you know, him signing up sort of voluntarily.
I mean they're definitely leaving it open there, because at the end of every one of these movies he thinks he has a memory that he's remembered it completely, obviously being manipulated here. The person he probably shot, I can't remember, was it really not him killing him? There's going to be something that's revealed later on, I'm sure, or was intended to be revealed later on that he didn't actually commit to it. I could be wrong. You've read the books, Randy. Is that more on par with the character Jason Bourne, or do you remember?
I mean, I feel like the movie really tracks closely to the character.
The character. Right. Okay.
It's just, for a movie, you don't get to demonstrate what people are thinking so much.
Right. Right.
So you have to just like have them chase each other around on rooftops, because that's what happens in a movie, you know?
Sure. Paul Greengrass, known for this style though too, right? Like that's his deal. He, even in something like Captain Phillips, that camera always moving. That thing is moving.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he knows how else to do it. So,
and that's perfect for a movie that's about someone who's on the run.
Yeah, no. It really is. Yeah.
You want to feel like you're also on the
run. That thing with the cop car, to this day, I can't believe that stunt. That's just unbelievably cool.
So I think that was the other award this thing got for, was some of the stunts. The stunts were freaking off the chain. Yeah. So good.
Him jumping in Morocco between buildings through that window is still like amazing shot. Yeah. And
you get it over and over. Like I said to my kid, you get ready for this jump. And then they show so many jumps that he got bored and kind of tuned out before they got to the big one where the camera follows him.
Yeah.
And I realized, oh, right. Because you're making an action scene. You don't make it only have one stunt.
You got a lot more stunts than one to do, but even like fight choreography was really tight. And
God, I love the fight choreography. It was some of the best.
Yeah. Are any of us like opposed? I'm not opposed to shaky cam as a way of conveying intenseness. I think it's fine. Doesn't bother me. On a huge screen, like in a theater up close or whatever, it'd be annoying. Now,
when it's done poorly, it's shit, but that's anything that's done poorly. But I think if it's done with a deft hand, like I think Will's done here.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah. Greengrass has got he's got the edge, man.
How much caffeine do you think he drinks? Do you think he holds the camera? Is it him, or do you think it's his cameraman?
It's really just espresso shake, espresso, right?
He's
basically
for everyone.
Yeah.
We're going to get this thing made.
By the way, there's no X. It's espresso.
Espresso. We're doing the espresso.
Changed it again. Put a new thing on it. I like it.
Espresso. Okay. Well, I feel like it's a little closer.
The espresso will be here in 5 minutes.
I just think he's always smiling, this director, although this shot I just gave you guys is not smiling, but he just seems like someone cool to work with. And he likes important topics. His United 93 movie still. Oh my gosh, it's so good.
The topic's hard to deal with, but the movie.
Yeah, it took me forever to watch it, because I just was like, I don't think I can do it. It took me like 5-6 years to watch it, but I finally did, and I really liked it. I still haven't seen News of the World or 22 July. 22 well, July is like that that shooting in Sweden thing. Yeah, he's he likes those. Well, Captain Phillips, same deal.
That one I need to see.
Yeah, yeah, I meant to see it. It just didn't. Anyway, he's great, and I feel like he's an auteur in some ways. Certainly absolutely. With action, and I love it. If he said tomorrow that hey, I'm going to revive the, we're going to do the Bourne thing again. I don't remember how the last one ended, so maybe you can't. I don't remember if.
I think you can. I think you wherever you want to. I think you reboot it. You could do whatever you want to. We've seen in other formats, right? It's not just at the theater with the
yeah.
green grasses.
I'd right? be down yeah. with it though. I'd be down for more of this.
And Jason Bourne, the last mm-hmm. one you're talking about, the fifth movie, yeah. has Tommy Lee Jones. So maybe
right.
we should sack what? It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, he's the
that.
He's the CIA director or something, right? Like a yeah. big shot. Dude.
Does he get the outhouse? Doghouse speech because boy, somebody was channeling that in this one every should. Time.
Yeah, a couple of people, and David Strathairn is shockingly up to the task of this character.
Oh, absolutely.
I was like, I wonder if he's gonna be like a little nerdy. No, he's just loud.
Yeah,
loud,
imposing.
Yeah. Oh, that had Alicia Vikander in it too. I forgot about that. Not really that long ago, 2016. Yeah,
a woman.
Yeah, I love her. She's great. She's also the new Laura Croft, but I haven't seen her.
I'll tell you.
Oh, right.
I just don't know how the one thing that I do love about the first three Bourne Ultimatum movies is, or the not the Ultimatum, anyway, the Bourne movies, the things I loved about it is Julia Stiles. I love Matt Damon's Will They, Won't They, Julia Stiles, Will They, Won't They End Up Together.
Mm-hmm. Well, wasn't this one, the big reveal that they were before he was.
Right. Before when it was David Webb.
Yeah.
Right. She's and man, I love how she kept looking at him. It's so expressive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's this trope here where she keeps staring at him with this pensive look. And then you find out at the end, right? Why is she like this? Because she didn't just say anything all these times they've had a chance for her to say something. It's a little stretch.
Is it right? Like, well, I know it's they kind of play along the whole time because it's like, will they, won't they? But is it romantic or is she lit? Because she talks about the assets and you can tell she's very apprehensive. She realizes she's involved in a situation where these people are seriously broken and they're seriously dangerous. She knows how dangerous this guy is, but even she doesn't realize it until she actually sees, oh my God, he's killing the guy in the bathroom. And I'm watching.
Mm-hmm.
But great performances by Julia Stiles. Loved it. It was so good.
Yeah, she's always, I always like her and stuff. Mm-hmm. They didn't give her a lot to say, though, which kind of bums me
out. No, they didn't. But like I said, sometimes you don't need that. Her expressive acting was so good. You don't need somebody to say a bunch of stuff. She did it very well.
Yeah.
She was reacting. That's the word. She wasn't acting. She was reacting, Scott.
That's right. Never forget. I wrote down here that I didn't really like when they would do when he's trying to grapple with memories of hanging out with Albert Finney. I hate that weird choppy slow-mo thing.
Yeah. Bad memory cam. Yeah.
It reminds you, it reminded me as a viewer, that there's something going on that they're never going to explain. And that is, how do you... take away a person's memories and give them training that, you know, like I just like they're never going to explain it.
Yeah.
They're not going
to
even try.
You're right. It's almost better that they don't, though, because then I don't have to, you know, I never really have to think about it too much because they haven't shown their cards.
And they wave their hands a lot. You know, it's like there was a lot of waterboarding and dunking and some electricity that you could hear. There was trust us. We brainwashed this guy real good. Don't worry.
Yeah. He's not smart now.
No, he's not smart, but he's fast. Oh, he's super fast.
Yeah. I was saying over and over, this guy has leveled up his cardio to max level. Like of all the things that Jason Bourne could be, he is a superior athlete first and foremost.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. In every conceivable way. It's less about finesse in the fight itself, but more about the parkour getting out of there or in there. Like that's where,
and they also made him the one too. I thought that was interesting. I was like, I don't know how I feel about that. You were the first. I'm like, oh, okay, so that means he's the one, right? He's the
proto.
So everybody else is just
proto
copies.
Asset.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
He's proto ass. Yeah,
he's like 46 or 5 or something in this shot I just put in from the last film. Matt Damon would get ripped for this role.
Jeez.
Yeah, he could do good.
And then he'd go on to do something where he was kind of pudgy and weird, and then he would
shrinking, whatever it was called, where
downsizing.
Downsizing, yeah.
I don't know. I have respect for that.
Charlize Theron finally say that she wasn't going to subject her body to any more of that bullshit?
I hadn't heard.
I respect actors who finally get that point. It's like, no, bump this crap.
Yeah, I'm not going to get all fat and skinny depending on your needs. I'm just going
to
hire me for my acting. Done.
Mm-hmm.
Done. That was stated by the reader from Titanic. Kate Winslet.
Okay.
Kate Winslet, who said she was never ever again gonna.
Christian Bale is dangerous when he does that, as well as Charlize Theron. They both seem super dangerous with that type of body.
I don't think he can do it anymore without actually harming himself. Because when you get to a certain age, your metabolism's gonna kick your ass. You walk out. You walk away with those things with weird stuff like heart conditions and stuff that from massive weight loss alone.
Permanent damage. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I had a doctor tell me that they had a perfectly healthy patient who went crazy and tried to lose a pound a day for 30 days.
Oh, my. That's too much, dude.
And they did it. And by the end of it, they had diabetes, a weird heart arrhythmia, some other thing. The guy was in his mid-40s IBS. Or something.
Oh, geez.
All these problems. And it was all because of too fast, too much, too fast. Don't do it.
Sounds absolutely horrible. I got a pen here. Did you say how he did it?
Right.
He ate pens. So good thing you got a pen.
Yeah, no, good. Good. That's a start.
Yeah. He cut off a pound a day. It was a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. So. Just use the X-Acto knife. Love it.
Pound of flesh. Yeah. It's also interesting that the daytime stuff in New York City, most movies like this, there's a lot of nighttime shit to hide a lot of the, I don't know what you're even hiding, but to do all the stuff they did in pure daylight in New York City with people around that look like a busy day in New York really works for me. It adds to this like intense sort of, there's a population you got to worry about here. And it felt more real here than most movies where they try to have a fight. Like I remember at the end of Heat, which I love Heat. Heat's one of my favorite movies of all time. But when they're out there having that shootout, that place is there's nobody there. Like it's just empty. And I don't hate the movie for it,
but it doesn't feel genuine.
Right. This felt real and dangerous, and people and stuff and kids and cars.
You know, there's these huge studio lots in Los Angeles, right? Where there's a very high wall surrounding like city buildings that are only used for shooting movies and TV shows. Right. Mm-hmm. And I always just imagine on the day they're going to shoot a chase scene like this on one of those lots, like that, there's a guy standing out on the street, like, handing out $50 bills, like, come be in a movie. We're just asking you to walk.
Come be in a movie, step right up, be in a movie. Got espresso for days, espresso. Come on in. We're gonna.
You really, just really on that espresso, aren't you? Just,
I love it. I want to go to a coffee shop with Brian and have him order an
and
espresso.
Have him, please order for me, Brian.
That's right.
Please order me the espresso.
Get me an espresso. What was I going to say? Okay, I have a this is more philosophical, okay? So I got this question.
All right.
The point of these movies is, we shouldn't have, we've gone too far. We've played God. We've made these super soldiers. But what have we,
we have to stop something that we've made unstoppable.
Right. Yeah. We've made, this is a mistake. Like that's the big banner here is that this was a mistake. Well, don't these movies actually prove that it worked? because he is so unstoppable and so formidable and survivable. The super soldier program you're all thinking is wrong actually freaking worked. I mean, it may have all these knock-on horrible effects, but at the end of the day, it worked, except for guy who lowered his gun. I guess he kind of screwed up, you know.
It all comes down to the major faux pas is that you think you can control something that you've unleashed, right? All of this is the atomic bomb. You think you can control it. No, once you've put it out there, it's out there.
Yeah. Genie out of the bottle kind of deal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You made a dinosaur. You thought you could keep them in cages. Guess what? They just ate you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. But you could see the value in it. Like I could understand why you could get rubbed or drug into being a government and going, we're going to sign off on this because this is going to be a way to never lose. Our special ops teams will never, ever fail. Like I get why that would be a thing.
Right. And we have real people in our government that think like this. It's like at all, all cost, whatever it takes to get the thing done.
Yeah.
And
And if they could do this, they would, but it, but also Absolutely. We don't know. I think the books, Brandy, you could correct me on this, I guess, but I think the books get way more into how they make these guys. Don't they?
I mean, like, so yeah, I vaguely remember this big long sequence about Jason Bourne in, you know, in the process, right? Because like he was told he had to kill another man, and when he didn't kill the other, this is all depicted in this movie, right? And that's the thing, like, I'm like, it's because I just watched this movie and they depicted it right with the guy with the bag over his head, and we're gonna torture you until you kill him. Like, I don't, was that in the books? I think it was in the books. I feel like I remember reading that, but
some
I don't
form
know.
Of that. Yeah, but like, I, you know, is it a chemical thing? Is it a you know.
Oh no! I mean, we've been doing this we've been doing this forever. Like breaking people, brainwashing them. Oh, we've been doing that since what,
sure. World but War this particular II, story
Project
is
Ultra, whatever.
In this particular story is bullshit. It's just bullshit. It's just like,
yeah.
It's just like we're just claiming this science fiction surgery.
You know? Yeah, yeah. We're definitely hand waving the realities of what all of that, you know, that what the MK Ultra or whatever it is. Kind of idea. So yeah, it's definitely more for the movie.
They make it seem
because
like
the reality is probably kind of boring and
it, exactly right. It has to be played up because it's in reality. It's
it seems like they're saying, okay, hey, David, we're calling you Jason now. Come through this door, and you'll never remember anything after this is done. And you've agreed to it, so come on in. And then the movie says, we're not showing you that shit. Forget it.
Yeah, so you would be repulsed. We're here to entertain. How about we have Matt Damon beat a guy up with a book? That'd be badass. Let's do that. I love when he smashes his foot.
Yeah, what a great weapon. You never think of a book as a good weapon, but
yeah.
No. It's the ultimate weapon. You know, this is making a statement. Mm-hmm. This movie's making a statement. The way you really fight is with knowledge.
Yeah.
Well, and it's coming right after the Transporter movies and so many other things, right? And so, like, there's a point where you can't one up anybody anymore. And you just have to go old school and have two men in a bathroom in Tangiers, like fighting to the death. Where
sink and a
with no music, by the way, just sound effects and grunting. That's it. I like that.
Every time I've ever seen it, it never loses the effect on me. The effect of our, I guess, kind of anybody, really any character who chokes out another person and you watch that slow choking out. Mm-hmm. That is always the most engaging and disturbing thing I ever see in a film. And it's always effective to me. It's like, oh my God.
Have you guys, killing somebody? Do you guys have a mainstream, like non-gory movie version of a death that affected you in a pretty gnarly way that you've ever seen?
Right.
Like that kind of thing. I have one, but I want to
think No Country for Old Men, every time he kills somebody, I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, that was pretty
serious.
That was pretty good.
Oh.
For me, it's the knife kill in Saving Private Ryan. Funny enough,
Matt
Damon movie.
Yeah, sure.
When he's slowly having I can never remember that actor's name.
And he's just watching him the whole time.
And he's going, wait. And that guy's just, the German is slowly inserting that knife into his chest. I never quite got past that. That was hard.
Oh, God. That is
That's the reason, whenever I think about dying and I think about like, oh, what if I died in a plane crash? And it's like, I wouldn't care about actually, you know, if we blew up in the air, that's not going to bother me because I'll be dead.
You don't
Who
want
cares?
That long, like, I, it's going to feel like an interminable amount of time that you're approaching the ground.
I don't like that. Yeah. That's what I don't like about you being choked out. I'm like, oh my God, you have to sit there and experience that the whole time going, no. And no, I don't like that. That bothers me.
Yeah, I don't like it either. It's just, there's something about a slow. Even though it's no time really in it's really, not that not much yet. Time. It's like, let's say it's 30 seconds. Well, you experience a ton of non-important 30 second chunks of time during every day of your life. But this one piece of 30 seconds is going to be
the you're longest, trying to hold your breath and look at the last 30 seconds right before you can't do it any further. Those last 30 seconds are forever.
Yeah.
It's like you're in Doctor Strange and you've left your body and you're out there going, well, I've extended this period.
Yeah.
Across decades.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't. I think I found a sound effect of this sound of the plane. Let's just play and freak everybody out. Hold on. Yeah, I don't want to hear any of this.
Oh, no.
Is that like, is that Lost? Speaking of Lost.
Yeah, when they're all, that's a perfect example, right? That them bouncing around and hearing that sound and the back half breaks off.
And then you see the back half split off. Yeah. Mm.
Let's talk about another. So that's more of a mass death, but that's a thing I can't get out of my head is the back end of a plane flying off. And I think Lost, first time I saw that. You know what? That's not true. What's the one where the soccer players eat each other? Hungry.
Alive.
Alive.
Hungry. I like that as a better title.
If you just had to finish the sentence, eat each other. Yeah. Alive, Scott? Are you alive. Looking for alive?
Yeah, I was exactly. looking for alive. That movie had that happen.
They didn't eat each other alive. They did kill the person that they ate. But
yeah. They went for the butt meat first. I'll never forget
so
that
they
either.
They could stay alive.
Why wouldn't you? Yeah.
It's the healthy, it's the, fatty.
It's the rump. It's the best part,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, yeah. If you're going to eat part of a dead body, go for the butt.
Yeah.
That's
what I say. Butt steak. Doesn't come from the butt.
Yeah. Avoid the hole, though. Don't go there near
that. Oh, gosh. Yes.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah. I'm not eating the armpit. That's all you. That's you.
This meat tastes like ass. Yeah.
Can you imagine eating an armpit? No.
Oh, shit. What? I got here late. Now I got to eat the armpit? This is crap.
Well,
no, we already ate that.
Yeah. Show up sooner, dude. You're sitting in the plane munching on whatever. That movie.
We're talking about the difference between things you'll never forget because they're so realistic, and things you'll never forget because they're like outrageous. Like there's some what's his name? Sorry, there's so many examples.
All right.
Leonardo DiCaprio jumping off a cliff in Revenant.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And like,
so good.
I'm like, wow, I will never forget this. I can see it. I've only seen it one time, and that sequence is burned in my brain. Yeah. But it didn't stick with me because I'm like worried,
right,
you know,
right.
it stuck with me because it's ridiculous. It's outrageous that a man would survive throwing himself off a cliff. Yeah. And, you know, a movie like this, there's things that stick with you because they're very realistic. You feel very much like, oh, I could experience that.
Yeah. How was
what about when they shot Marvin in the face? What do you think about that?
Marvin?
Well, you didn't see it.
Oh, right.
You see the splatter, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's true.
But I could see it. Because I can imagine, right?
We don't talk about like a T-Rex eating a person in Jurassic Park in these terms,
right?
Because it's outrageous. It's not something that your brain goes, "That could happen to me."
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, there's like there's primal fear in it, but not a fear where you're like, when you leave the movie, you're going to be looking around every corner about dinosaurs biting lawyers off toilets, right? You're not thinking of it that way anymore. But in this case,
I could wish
a book to the face or a choke out in a shower. These feel like they're closer to possible.
Yeah,
and I think that's what gets you, or a knife to the chest, slow German knife to your chest. Oh my God!
Plus, it appeals to my if I could just train long enough or hard enough, I could be smart enough to run across building tops and grab clothes off clotheslines so that I can wrap my hands up so I can alley-oop myself over top of some glass. Ooh.
It's very true. You're absolutely right. You actually could.
But it's more than just the training of like being able to do that. It's the training of like, all right, let me think 8 steps ahead of where I'm at. Like, let me not just think about the gap I have to jump now. Right. But what's on the other side of that gap and what's further down? Do I need the momentum of jumping the gap to do something else to this? And that's the hardest thing.
Yeah, he's playing StarCraft from up above while the rest of us are down in the scrum. We can't see what's going on.
And how many actions per second? He's on like 25 actions per second. I'm on like 3.
Yeah. His APM or whatever it's called is off the charts.
Right. Yes.
Wait, is it minutes or seconds?
Yes.
Is it minutes?
Yeah. Minutes?
It's not seconds? I thought it was seconds. Okay. It's not seconds? I thought it was seconds.
Not seconds? You sure it's not?
Yes.
APM. Yeah, it is APM.
It's not APC?
Yeah.
All right, then he's on 100 APM. I'm on 3.
that's reasonable. Yes.
Yeah, it still works, but I also thought that was seconds. Well, anyway, like when he's telling him to tie his shoes at the right time and turn here and go left and do the thing and run down the thing, like that's not. I can't do that.
The fact that he's able to do that for the other guy that he's watching as he's also evading the same people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again,
that's when it gets to the next level. Yeah.
You know, you always think about, I always think about video games and like the games where you have to use your analog joystick to give your team commands.
Yeah.
While you're also attacking, it's like,
imagine if you had to, exactly. So it's basically an escort quest with you actually having to give verbal commands. Oh my God, that would be.
It'd be brutal. Jesus. It'd be almost not worth it, you know?
Yeah. Forget it. I quit.
Yeah, I'm out. But yeah, I did, you know, as an overall, I think this movie's very good for what it is.
I like it.
Especially for what it is. Because in a way, it's almost like, hey, what if we took all the shit we've already kind of done and we just sort of do it again? But, you know, we get a little more story and we get a little more revelation for the character. But really, it's still sort of just a series of rooms and escapes and car wrecks and somehow have it elevate itself above the entire rest of the series. It's kind of remarkable.
Yeah. If I was to go back again The next time I'm going to watch any Bourne movie that's not the next two, it's definitely going to be just this third one. There's no sense in watching the first and second one. As a matter of fact, a lot of the second one's in this one. So I'm like, I'll just.
Yeah, it's a good point. Fine. I missed that German actress lady. I forgot her name. But other than that.
Yeah, I was just about to say the one thing from the first two movies that's so interesting is their relationship. How it really makes you feel like the story is about this guy getting out of the agony that he has been forced into.
Yeah.
And, you know, she's like his salvation. And they become like a normal couple who, I don't know, they work at a coffee shop or something. And it's like, that's a really interesting little story to me. And I would miss that if you know.
Hey, they sum it up real quick. And even they even visit the brother who was a chicken in the bucket to me. Cause I was like, oh, I actually recognize this actor. He's definitely going to come back and be pissed because Jason let his sister die. No, he just disappeared. Yeah.
Do we have a favorite Jason Bourne or not Jason Bourne? Sorry, Matt Damon movie for everybody. Does everyone have one that jumps out? Like I'm partial to The Martian and a few others.
I was going to say The Martian. Yeah, I feel like the Ocean series. I think he's a great. He's your everyman that kind of comes into it, even though he's just like an expert thief. Pocket picker. What's the term that I'm looking for?
Pocket picker.
Expresser. Pickpocket. I guess I could just put the words in the opposite order and have the word picker, I'm thinking pocket. Of.
He's I like pocket picker's fun to
pocket,
say that.
Pickpocket.
I like
that. I'm a pocket picker.
I like that.
But like that's his basic thing that he brings to it. But he also comes into the group without knowing anybody. He's brought in, and that's kind of like your everyman. He's the representation of the audience in the Ocean series. I really like that.
Yeah, he's great.
And yeah, The Martian. Sure. Yeah,
I mean, as far as like main role, I think Martian's really strong. I think I thought that Elysium movie was cool.
That's maybe my favorite character he plays. I think I may have to say that with the Bourne series.
Bourne's, yeah, they're pretty great.
Now, if it's favorite character, I got to go with 30 Rock because Liz Lemon.
I just watched that one.
Liz Lemon has a string of bad boyfriends, and he's the only good one, or like reasonably average one.
He's a pilot
named Carol, and he's so perfect in that show. Like they couldn't have cast it better.
Yeah, and he ends so well too. I love it.
His character in Interstellar too is just like Interstellar.
Yes. I know, but you're going to say his performance.
Oh, it's stellar.
Stellar.
I just say it's such a departure from what you're used to seeing from Matt Damon.
If you haven't seen it, let's stop talking right anymore. Now.
Exactly.
Because that's where I stop. You don't even know it's. Well, yeah, I saw it recently. I don't want to say it either. I won't say it. I won't say anything. It's great, though.
We'll stop right there. But Scott, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah, let's just say he has a credit in that movie, and it's worth seeing. Go see that movie, everybody. Wait,
what's interesting to me is that Damon is so good at playing a character like that, where you just assume a bunch of backstory the instant you see him. You know?
Yeah.
Like in the Martian, the instant you see him, you've got all of this backstory.
Yeah, for good or for ill. Even in the final duel, it's such a mixed thing about the characters, the way that they're portrayed. It's the whole point of the movie, and I don't want to give that away either. People should see that movie. But man, he had the ability twice in that movie for me to acknowledge or assume tons about him. Like the first time I met him, I went, oh, I think I understand this guy. And then I get to see him from a different light, and I go, whoa, I think I understand this guy. And it was two totally different guys. Like he's really good at that. Like he's actually really good at it, you know?
And that, his acting for me goes like all the way back. Like he was like this as a teenager, as an actor. And I think it's kind of surprising that he hasn't become more than he has. Like, I feel like Matt Damon could have, and still can, become like a serious prestige movie actor.
I mean, he kind of is. He's in Oppenheimer. He's in Interstellar, like we mentioned. Those are pretty big. He was in, I mean, The Martian was a huge movie. All these Ridley Scott movies. I mean, he kind of is. You know, I mean, it may not be like, I don't know, it's not DiCaprio working with Scorsese level, but it's pretty damn big. I would say, too, that I don't understand this. Can we talk about this for just a second? All right. This is a thing I need to understand. They make a movie called We Bought a Zoo. All right.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking of.
People give that thing shit all the time. But every time I look at like cumulative scores or overall ratings or even just individual reviews from users or otherwise, that movie is, people like that movie.
Yeah.
So why was it so ripped on? What was the deal?
Two things. Number one, everyone decided the year before that that they hate Cameron Crowe and Cameron Crowe can never do anything good again. And that has been borne out, over the last decade. Everything Cameron Crowe does from We Bought a Zoo onward gets just trashed.
Why is that? What happened there with Cameron Crowe?
That would be a very interesting thing to try to unpack, like on a special episode of Filmsack, because like there's a certain thing, right, that happens to like a band like Coldplay, where you just get too
overexposed.
Because he's only recorded three things: Aloha, Roadies, which is a TV show, and then a Stevie Nicks Show Them the Way short thing,
music video, probably
since We Bought a Zoo. So it's not like he's been cranking away on a bunch of stuff. I mean, he went from Vanilla Sky to Elizabeth Town, then a bunch of video shit, and then We Bought a Zoo. I don't know, I guess I don't understand the trajectory, but I kind of want to see this now, because
the name of the movie is like, it's one of the best examples ever of if they had just come up with a normal name that doesn't make people think it's a silly family farce, you know?
Yeah,
right.
Because
titles matter.
They do.
Reviews are always like so glowing. It's like, a lot of heart and humanity makes this a delightful, inspiring, poignant autobiographical tale, notable too for its peerless lead actor Matt Damon. This movie is an untold gem, blah blah blah. Like, people love this thing. I don't know, I'm just saying, I think I let the bias get the best of me and I skipped We Bought a Zoo for no good reason.
No good reason. You should watch it right now, right after this.
No, I got to do a show with you.
Right. I can't be doing that.
Maybe we should sack it sometime.
I think we should totally sack it.
I'd be fine.
I've never seen it either. Yeah. So is this good?
That's a perfect sackable reason too. It's like, let's demystify
let's
this.
Find
thing.
Out.
Let's see why it's exactly.
Yeah, I'd do that.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what big wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Clips here. We got clips, folks.
Oh, you got clips?
Yep.
Cool.
I don't know if you've heard of these or ever seen us do them before, but this is a thing. This is a thing we do.
Please tell me none of the clips mention Blackbriar.
I know. Oh, my God.
Mention Blackbriar?
None of them do.
Okay, good.
I made a point. Ice cream, though. That's not like a, is that an ice cream? Blackbriar.
It does sound like Blackbriar now that you say it.
Well, there's briars, I guess, right?
Maybe so. That's where the confusion in my brain is.
Blackbriar, bam, blam. All right.
Blackbriar, bam, bam.
Do it. Let's do this one. This is important.
People, listen up. This is a full priority situation.
Oh, David Strathairn giving us full priority.
Full priority.
Yeah. Situation. I wonder what a partial priority looks like.
Yeah. You can get around to it later.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Here's a stark warning.
These people will kill you if they have to.
Oh, my Lord. They will? Shit.
What if they don't have to?
Here's House of the Dragon guy. Love him.
Was it Blackbriar? Is that what this is?
What's Blackbriar?
Treadstone upgrade. My source told me it all started with you.
I take it back. I did say Blackbriar today.
Wow.
I forgot I captured that. Totally forgot. I actually avoided it. I avoided it. Yeah, but I think I started avoiding it later and forgot I already did it. All right. Geez, Scott. All right. How about this one? Dirty Little Secret.
Dirty Little Secret.
He's great. I just love him. Can I get more House of the Dragon, please? I loved that series so freaking much. I mean, he's not. Yeah, well, so go watch it. I don't want
to spoil it. Scott, with the spoiler.
One more spoiler. All right. It's him. Oh, it's the famous line.
Jesus Christ. That's Jason Bourne.
I love.
Well, which is it?
Memes where people show like a home video of somebody, you know, doing something really crazy in their backyard, and then they tack that on the end of it. I love that.
Yeah.
It's great. Here we go. This should have been the theme of the whole movie right here.
God damn it. Get a backup team in there.
That's what they did over and over.
He's like a Muppet there.
Yeah. Get a backup team in there. What was that all about?
God damn it. Get a backup team in there.
Hey, you guys, I'm a Muppet.
Let's get a backup team in there.
This is the slot of us.
Oh.
All right. What the hell happened?
What the hell just happened?
I don't know. Stuff. Everything was going off the rails all the time in that little CIA office with all the computer people. Just just like, oh, shit, put it on the main screen. Talk to Kramer, says this lady.
Do you want to tell me or should I call Kramer and ask him?
Having the keys to Jerry's apartment, that kept me in a fantasy world.
Yeah. A little Kramer there.
I'm glad you didn't miss an opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I understand referencing Kramer as I'll tell Dad because Scott Glenn is a scary guy to me.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
I just like if he's the heavy, I'm afeared.
Yeah.
Afeared.
He is the dude who when people always say who are your run-ins with celebrities, I usually either mention more recently the Krusty Space Hands John DeLancey moment.
Yeah, John DeLancey. Yep.
But I had this time in, I was probably 19 or 20, in a airport, Salt Lake International Airport, and Scott Glenn showed up on a plane, came off the plane. You could tell it was him, and he wasn't like a huge star or anything, which is why I thought this was funny at the time, because you don't really need to hide yourself. But he pulled this coat hood thing up over his face and ran past everybody. Just ran.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I remember thinking, because at the time, the biggest thing he had done was like Silverado or something. And I remember thinking, dude, you don't have to. No one knows.
You're not there yet.
Yeah, it's like the Johnson. We got Johnson here. See, nobody cares.
Johnson
it's like
here.
Yeah, nobody cares.
I just want to say, like, I don't think people know what a miracle it was that a single movie had Scott Glenn, Kurt Russell, Robert De Niro, Donald Sutherland, J.T. Walsh in it, and that's Backdraft.
Yeah.
Oh, I watched part of that the other day.
Dude, Backdraft rocks.
I do too, yeah.
It has not held up, but it is really good.
Oh, it holds up fine. It's good.
No, what about it
doesn't hold up?
Yeah.
Brian.
It just didn't have everything. I just watched the whole time. I was like, oh, this is not nearly as good as I remember. That's all I remember about it when I was watching.
So time to watch it here is what you're saying.
It is absolutely time to watch it here.
I'll maybe put it some on of the list.
Yep, do it.
Yeah, Backdraft. We've been talking about it forever and we should do it. It was maybe right after Silence of the Lambs-ish time when he ran past. So maybe he thought his star was on the rise, but no one knew Scott Glenn was in the airport. Anyway, he was great in The Leftovers. You remember that role? That was great.
He was good in E.T.
Yeah. Daredevil. He was Stick. Wait, he was in E.T.? Right? He was in E.T.?
Yeah, Scott Glenn was Keys.
No, that's a different actor. That ain't him. Yeah, you're thinking of someone else.
Who am I confusing with Scott Glenn then? Hold on a second.
What's that guy's name? He played old him. Well,
oh, Peter Coyote. I totally am getting Peter Coyote and Scott Glenn confused.
Wow, yeah, they feel like the same person.
They do feel like the same person.
They're very similar. Wow. Cut from the same hickory stick, those two guys.
Totally, yeah. Probably like 20 years apart in age, though.
My big problem is that Scott Glenn sounds like John Glenn, and Scott Glenn was an astronaut in a movie.
Yeah.
And, jeez.
The Right Stuff. I loved that movie when it was on. Or when it was new. I shouldn't say when it was on. It's on whenever you want it to be on, but I thought it was great.
Oh, it's funny. Scott Glenn does not have his year of birth on his Wikipedia page. There's no
none your business.
You cannot tell how old Scott Glenn is. You can tell he was born on January 26th, but not what year.
I bet you it's because they don't know how old the tree is that he came from.
They have to cut Scott Glenn open and count the rings, basically.
Yeah.
So it's right in the beginning of his IMDb bio. It says he was born in 1939. I wonder if there's like a misattributed source.
Weird because his Wikipedia also no date.
Yes, that's what Brian. That's
oh, you said. Oh, I thought you said IMDb
listed, but Wikipedia doesn't. So 1939, that would make him. Let's see, 61 in 2000. So 61 plus 23 is 84. So 3 years older than
Peter Coyote. Okay, yeah. That's amazing. I would watch those two do stuff. Let's go.
Totally. They should play brothers.
Yeah, let's get it.
long lost brothers and something.
Yeah, let's get that done. But like, man, that means he was in his 70s working on Daredevil. He was great as Stick in that.
Yeah. Yeah. No kidding.
The Defenders. What's he doing now? He's got more shit going on. Let's see. He's in. Let's see. What's The Hill? He plays a character called Red Murph in the
I was going to say The Hill sounds Red like a political drama, doesn't it?
Oh, here it is.
No, I thought it sounded like something on WB or something.
It's a 2023 American biographical sports drama film based on player Ricky Hill overcoming a physical handicap in order to end up being a legendary major league scout. Dennis Quaid is your main dude. Didn't they already make this movie and call it The Rookie? I swear that's like the same plot almost. And it's autobiographical, which that was also. That's weird. All right. Anyway, I don't know. It's probably good. Who knows? August came out. All right. Here's a clip. Angry acting time.
You do not have the authority to kill her.
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, I'm David Strathairn. I get to kill whoever I want. Yar.
That could have been a more exciting response. Oh, yes, I do. It's not enough.
I know you are, but what am I? Basically,
yeah, it could be.
It's pretty lame.
Not infinity.
I had in my head that he was in all the movies. He wasn't. He was just in this, I think. Strathairn. I don't think he's in even the newer one. But for whatever reason, my memory, if someone has said, hey, Scott, I'm going to kill you unless you can tell me if David Strathairn was in all Bourne movies, I'd be dead. All right. You sure about that?
Bourne and Nicky Parsons are dead.
You sure about that?
You sure about that? You sure about that? You sure about that?
What's that guy's name? The SNL guy?
Is that Rob Schneider?
No, it's new guy. He's newish.
Bourne and Nicky.
Hello.
Bourne and Nicky.
You sure about that?
You sure about that?
He's that goofy one.
Sure about that?
He's got the Netflix show.
I was gonna say he's not SNL. That is he was on Detroiters with Sam Richardson. He's got the I Think You Should Leave, and his name is crap.
Not Sam Richardson, the other guy. Tim Robinson.
It's such a boring ass name, but my God, that guy is so funny.
I thought he was an SNL. I don't watch SNL.
I don't think so.
No, okay. Never been an SNL.
Duh.
I mean, he was.
His own sketch. I mean, that whole, his I Think You Should Leave is his own SNL sketch show, basically.
Actually, yeah. Tim Robinson was a featured player on a whole season of SNL.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
You might. Really? My correct track record today is starting to be embarrassing. I don't know why I'm getting stuff right. Because well, I have no right to know that. I don't watch SNL anymore, so I don't even know why I know this.
I'm amazed. I've watched every damn season of SNL, and I'm a big Tim Robinson fan, and I never thought the two ever...
Was it recent? Ever, like a couple years? Like how many years was he doing this?
I mean, 2012 to... show him from 2012 to 2016.
He was on one season of SNL as a featured player, so he wasn't like
2013.
Right, but if you go to his Wikipedia page, he's listed as SNL, various characters, 68 episodes, and a writer from 2012 to 2016.
That's definitely more than a season. Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe I see what you're saying. Like he could have just been writer for five of those seasons and featured.
Yes,
and featuring Tim Robinson.
Funny how this works sometimes. Some people will be SNL backgrounders in lots of ways and barely be featured players for a hot minute, but then end up having amazing careers outside of it. The other one is who's that guy we like that always talks about the
John Mulaney.
John Mulaney, yeah. That's another good example. Like he'd been in some skits and mostly writing, but his career is like bigger than most people that, do real SNL work. Like the actual ratio of Will Ferrell's to what's the example of the other side? Someone who doesn't go on to anything big after SNL. I can't think of anyone.
Maybe Chris Kattan, kind of. But
yeah, there you go. That's a good one.
Sherry O'Terry.
Sure. Maybe. People we like, enjoy, they're fine. Yeah, but they don't.
They were great, but didn't.
They don't blow up,
Didn't seem to go much further. Yeah.
Anyway, that guy's all right. Here's. Okay, I got a question for you. This is kind of like when I do Ibbot stuff, but it's a little different. What does Jesus use to keep his eggs from sticking to the griddle? And here comes the punchline.
Jesus Pam.
Nice. You ever use Pam to spray Pam?
They said Jesus a lot in this film.
And that was not from The Office, that clip.
No, it was not.
Jesus Pam.
It could be Steve Carell saying that. Yeah.
That's good. All right. Where it starts, where it ends.
This is where it started for me. This is where it ends.
I don't remember him farting in the scene, but I guess he did.
God, I thought I listened closely, but apparently I didn't.
Yeah. All right, here's, I don't know what this final one is.
Sir, he drove off the roof.
What?
He drove off the roof.
I had to clarify.
What? I said he drove off the roof.
And he's perfectly fine. He just kind of dusted himself off. Oh, really? Well, he grabbed the, he kind of held on to the seatbelt a little bit.
I love when he grabbed the seatbelt later on. I'm like, oh, that's so stupid. There's no way that worked, but that is awesome.
That cop car thing, gosh dang it, man.
It's good.
Still some of the coolest thing I've seen on a you know, fake movie car thing. That was rad. All right, now this. It's time for the Film Sack checklist. Starting this movie, hitting the ground running like really hard and never stopped? Check. He was born for this? Check. Mm-hmm. I really went deep for that one. And when in Morocco, you can't have taco. I don't know why I wrote that. I was tired. It was late last night. Don't ask me. Don't know.
But it does rhyme. And it I'm sure Morocco has a folded sandwich kind of thing, but it's not called a taco. I'm sure they do.
I hope they do. Because
every culture has a taco.
Yeah, every culture has a taco. They call something else. That's really true.
You're
going to
quote
me
on that.
That's right.
I would eat a Morocco taco.
Sure. Why isn't there a place already called Morocco's Tacos?
There might be. Let's see if Gangster Town has ever gone there to talk about how great it is. What's his name? Guy Fieri.
Yeah.
Let's do these Star Trek connections. There's bound to be, I mean, there's enough older actors in this. I got to think there's one or two. What do we got?
I am sorry to say, we again do not have any connections in the cast.
Boo.
And yes, I double checked David Strathairn because I'm like, I must have this Mandela effect about Strathairn in appearing in like some episode of a Star Trek series.
Yeah.
But just like Ed McMahon never worked for Publishers Clearinghouse.
Lies. You
know, Richard Simmons never wore a sweatband. There's no David Strathairn in Star Trek. Randy, get it through your head.
Wait a minute. I've never heard that one.
Richard Simmons never wore a sweatband?
That's amazing. Is that one? Yeah. That's real?
You believe it.
So I did find a slightly interesting connection just so we can have something.
Yeah.
There's an ADR voice casting credit for a woman named Caitlin McKenna, right? Okay. So this is the person when they're doing ADR who is like casting actors to come grunt and like speak into a microphone and they're going to become background sounds in a busy street or whatever.
Sure.
Caitlin McKenna, ADR voice casting. In the Star Trek reboot at the beginning, there's a ship called the USS Kelvin, right?
Yeah.
And the first officer is George Kirk.
Oh, yeah.
That ship's computer is talking.
Oh, that's her.
That is the voice of Caitlin McKenna.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, George Kirk played, at the time, a very unknown Chris Hemsworth at the time was George Kirk in 2009.
Right.
I remember at the time going, who's this guy? Now I know too much about
him. He should play Thor. There's a Star Trek connection for you.
Very nice. That's a good one. I'll take it. Soundtrack grade, I'm going to give it an L for like the last one. It's basically the same soundtrack. It's fine. It's good. It's intense.
Ends with that nice Moby song.
Yeah. Two times they've used that, I think, right? First movie and then this one.
Was a remix of the first one. Yep.
I follow Moby on TikTok, and he's always making a little song out of nothing. So it's always Moby going, hey, guys, I know you can barely see me because all the veganism just about killed me and I'm really thin. but then he really is paper thin. It's weird. But anyways, I'm going to take this sound and I'll go in the microphone and then go, okay, now we're going to put a thing and a beat and stuff.
Half
and
he's, a hit right there.
It's actually really great. Like, it's amazing.
I imagine so, yeah.
It's this whole thing, I guess, but it's really good. All right, social post. This is where you guys sum up this shit. That's actually quality movie, this good, fine film, in 280 characters or less. And I think as the rules state on subsection 3, part B, Randy has to begin. So, Randy, go.
The Bourne Ultimatum. He's jumping in your windows. He's killing your assets dead. He's trying to find out his past. But you are one big doo-doo head. You could have just let him retire. You should have shredded all Blackbriar. You're lucky if you aren't soon dead. You really are a doo-doo head.
Wow.
That needs to be a children's book, really.
Right.
Yeah. I'll illustrate it.
Can we get that illustrated and published?
Let's do it. Let's publish it with the same. The album, the people are doing the album. We'll have them do the publishing, and we got this. We're good. Hey, Dunaway, give us your read thing.
Hey, Johnson, the Bourne Ultimatum. Ultimatums? I don't do ultimatums. Fine. You said I would be saving American lives, but you never mentioned I would be doing it with a fax machine. Hashtag off the grid. Hashtag fax noises. Hashtag Julia style staring contest. Go.
Yeah, it's a hard one. She can stare like nobody's business. Hey, Brian Ibbett, it's your turn.
The Bourne ultimatum. I guess the David Webb ultimatum just doesn't have the same ring to it.
We're going to the program.
Nice.
I like it.
The David.
How'd you inflect that on the in the Twitter post and text? How do you?
I show a picture of Albert Finney and some garbagey impact font text directly underneath him.
Yeah,
perfect.
He's the best part of
memeified it.
What was that Julia Roberts thing? It was big, huge, famous movie. She won an Oscar for it.
Aaron Brockovich.
Yes. No. Aaron Brockovich.
Aaron Brockovich.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's amazing. He's the best thing in that movie. Just putting that out there.
I forgot he was in that. Yeah. That's surprising.
Best thing in the movie. Yeah. Who?
I think he's a lawyer that helps her get her case going, I think is the deal. And Aaron Eckhart, also amazing. He's the weird stoner neighbor guy. He's great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That movie's better.
Whatever
happened
to Aaron Eckhart? That guy.
He's still around. He's got stuff. Yeah. He's not as big. You know, I feel like he maybe peaked with the Batman Two-Face thing.
He gets to do Two Faces.
Yeah, it's a great honor to graduate to the indie film world.
That's right. I've made my money. Now I can sit back.
I'm down with that.
I want to make.
I always support artists who get the hell out of Hollywood and still have an awesome career and enjoy themselves.
Yeah, he has a movie called Ambush this year. He's got four things in development.
And it's so hard to get roles after you burned off half your face. So
it's all putty over there on that side now, and you can tell. He has to get all shots. All the shots are on the left side. He's in some show called Pantheon that people like. It's an animated thing. Okay.
Yeah, unless you're doing a voice work.
Paul Dano, Aaron Eckhart.
C+.
Yeah. I want to see that new Paul Dano GameSpot stock movie.
Oh, yes, right.
That looks great.
Kind of the Big Short of that of the video game or the GameStop thing.
Yeah. I find myself excited about movies like that when I hear they're being made about a thing. I guess Dope Sick sort of fits, but you know, like you said, Big Short. What's another one? I can't think of another one.
Yeah. I didn't mean to audibly make a noise. I went and I was doing a Google search on Aaron Eckhart, and there was a trailer that just released like 2 weeks ago. And I was like, oh, Muzzle. Okay, that sounds neat. Okay, let's just take a look quickly, little trailer there. And I laughed at like it's 5 seconds in. I didn't
really.
To.
Is that?
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh,
that's too bad. He's a Utah boy too.
I didn't say it was bad. I just wasn't expecting it. It was a turn that I wasn't expecting.
He got went to BYU and. It was a big deal here in 94-95 because when he was at BYU, he was expanding their film department or helping them somehow, and it was like this huge deal. It's like BYU might actually have a decent film school and will rival, you know, any other regional schools and all this. And then he left and they didn't do shit with it. They just let it all go. You know,
I'm continuing to watch this Muzzle trailer with no audio.
Well, and
it's supposed to be very serious.
Well, Randy, you
it's
and
about
I'll
a
just
canine
we'll,
dog.
Randy and I'll just have the show. We'll just talk. It's fine. It's all
I feel
fine.
Brian Dunaway
made that noise. I felt like, well, I need to see what Brian Dunaway made that noise.
I don't blame you. What's this called again?
The dog with the silver tooth is what made you make that noise?
Oh God. Yes. It's okay. So the story is LAPD K-9 officer. So he lost a dog, right? In the line of duty. Very serious stuff. But for some reason with no audio and just the shots they're using, I'm like, oh my God, it's going to be great. I can't wait to cry at this film.
I like their poster, but
it feels like, what's the movie that was just
it's a dog dies movie.
Well, no. What was the movie where it was an army dog and this guy has to get it across country? Channing Tatum.
Yeah.
And the dog is angry, but they find a common ground and they love each other by the end. And
I've never heard of that.
This is what that looks like.
Yeah.
Well,
I will admit I'm a guilty pleasure person on these kind of movies. But I fully admit,
I want you
it's
to know
it's going to be really hard to win an award playing in these kind of movies.
I want you to know, Brian Ibbett, there is a movie called Army Dog. It is, I don't think it's the one you're just talking about. but there is a movie called Army Dog, and it is exactly what you think it is.
Oh, really? Well, a dog is the one from 2022 that I was thinking
of. Is it double G dog or just dog?
Nope, just single D, single D dog, single D, single G dog. Snoop double O Duke is what it is. It's a Channing Tatum and a dog, and they fall in love as they drive across the country.
I love
and
then a dog he did love story.
Lost City and Bullet Train, same year.
Wow. Wow. That's really great.
All right. Now I'm back.
Okay. I haven't seen a dog movie since like that Dog's Purpose.
See, those movies will ruin you for dog because, like, I'm not watching another dog movie after freaking Marley and Me.
Yeah. You fooled me once. You're not getting me again, buddy.
Oh, there's your dog. Your movie stars a dog. Well, enjoy it because you can have my seat.
This Line of Duty thing has Giancarlo Esposito in it, but he'll do anything for a dollar. That guy, working.
Yeah. But he does everything really well.
Yeah, and great.
I still stand by the fact that if you have not seen Kaleidoscope on Netflix, it was it had the gimmick that you could watch the episodes in any order because the way the story was told, it worked in any order. That the gimmick is unnecessary. It's ridiculous. But you've got Giancarlo Esposito, Rufus Sewell, Jay Courtney. It's such a great cast, and it's a really cool heist story that didn't need a stupid gimmick to make it work.
Yeah. The only gimmick I need is Rufus Sewell and something. I love him.
Yeah, and Giancarlo Esposito. I mean, it's 8 episodes of watching Giancarlo eat up the screen, and he's fantastic.
I will give that one a look because I never did.
Please do. Put that back on your list. It's unfortunately it doesn't have a great like it's got a 50% on Rotten Tomatoes. I enjoyed it a lot more than that.
Yeah.
And I think it's because people were railing about the gimmick.
Well, 50% of the people agreed with you, so they agreed that it was good. And then 50% of the people said doesn't quite cut the mustard.
Exactly. See, you're such a Rotten Tomato half full.
I'm half a cup of tomato juice is what I am.
Let me play this just because he came up in the conversation. Smoke weed every day. There you go. That's all I want.
Just because I conjured the spirit of D-O-O-G.
Yeah. D-O-O-G. Yeah. Well done. I like
that. We should ask a question with every Film Sack movie. We should ask who in this movie is the one that smokes weed every day. I have an answer.
All right.
Julia Stiles is my answer.
Yes. Thank you.
Really?
Julia Stiles. When you see her in this movie, she has just put the joint down like out of frame. Yeah. She just had it in her mouth and she's holding it in. Yeah. She's holding the dragon.
Yeah, she's fun to watch. Is it Instagram she's on? She has her, you know, she has kids. She's always posting stuff about that stuff. And she's interesting.
Yeah, but it says
the
staring
contest is really just her trying to remember her next line.
Yeah. Yeah, because that does that to your brain. I'm going to give it to Strathairn, the character he's playing, because he goes in the bathroom and does it while nobody's looking. I promise you, he's in there weeding it up. I just know
He's a bit excitable to be smoking every day for me.
He said the nastiest thing on that Sopranos episode that I watched. It's the nastiest, meanest thing.
Tell me what he did.
I'm not going to do it. I can't. I would feel very uncomfortable saying it. But if you ever see that episode or a couple episodes where him and a separated Carmella are dating,
right?
He says the meanest thing to her. Oh,
so we covered Julia Stiles. Who did you say Albert Finney? Did you say that Albert was smiling?
No, maybe it is. I think he's an edible kind of guy.
Okay, more of edible. I mean, he's pretty much
on glaucoma.
Glaucoma.
Love it. Why is that so funny? Oh, I don't know.
So Scott Glenn, then? We're not thinking.
No, I think Scott Glenn in real life. I think that guy loves his weed in real life, but I think he's giving him long life. I don't know what's going on with that guy.
Like Julia Stiles grew up in a hippie commune in New York. I just everything about her just
makes sense. Like
she smokes weed every day.
Yeah, every day.
You can make this a segment, Scott.
Yeah, it might be a new segment. Bumper. We haven't done that in a while. Maybe we need a new one. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see how it flows in the next couple of weeks. You know, we got rid of Cave Like a Vagina. Now we got a new one. So finally. All right, real quick here. I got alternate titles. These were just handed to me, so I feel like I owe it to everyone to read it. If I could just find the clip. There it is. Okay. This was almost called The Bored Old Tomato, which is a thing I always say about this movie, so I had to include that. Or The green grass is green grassier on the other green side of the fence. Here's a quick email from a listener. Filmsack@gmail.com is where it came from. It's Sean O'Hara. Sean O'Hara. He's got an email.
Yes.
He says, during the Man on Fire episode, you were laughing at the idea that Bob Hoskins being considered for the lead. It does sound far-fetched if you're only familiar with his Roger Rabbit and Super Mario Brothers movies. But he also got his start in British gangster films, and his performances in the long Good Friday and Mona Lisa are as badass as anything in a Scorsese movie. It's sad that most people only know him from his comedic roles now, like if Joe Pesci were only remembered for Home Alone and My Cousin Vinny, says Sean.
That's all I remember.
It wasn't so much that I think he couldn't do it. That wasn't it. It was that it would change the movie so much for this little stocky, angry, bald former hitman. It wouldn't have been a bad film. It's just a totally different movie. I don't know why. I just feel like the relationship, the friendship that struck up between him and Dakota Fanning is just different with Bob Hoskins. I don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I just can't picture it. So it's not that he couldn't do it. I think Bob Hoskins was an incredibly talented dude. And I've never seen either The Long Good Friday or Mona Lisa, but it sounds like that's something to see. Wasn't he also one of them Guy Ritchie deals? Wasn't he? Did I have that wrong? Are you guys looking at a trailer again?
I can't remember Hoskins. Was there I'm trying to think of what it was. Because he was in a murder, or not a murder, bank robber thing. That was with Phil Collins, right? Where he played a bank robber.
What?
They were partners.
They were in a movie together. That's cool.
Yeah.
The Long Good Friday revolves around a man named Harold.
Harold, 1980. It's old. The British gentleman? Film. That looks great. That looks fun. I've watched that.
Oh, maybe The Gentleman. Is that it?
Was he in that?
Guy Ritchie Returns, something Bob Hoskins. I just did a search for Bob Hoskins and I just put
Buster
their names together.
Is the one I'm thinking of, but 88 with Phil Collins, but was.
He died in Hoskins. 2014. So would he have. Let's see.
No Hoskins in there.
For whatever reason, I got Guy Ritchie and Bob Hoskins together, and I don't know why I did that. Okay, that's it for that. Let's read this text we got also. Here's a text. 801-471-0462. Oh, hi, Scott, Bibbit, Brian, and Randy. Hi. This is Lisa P. from Niagara Falls. She says this. I am a huge fan of FilmSack and TMS and all of you guys, and I have run through the FilmSack library, including the archive, and I am on my very second go at it. Wow. I really enjoy hearing your banter and commentary, and I'm very grateful for your shows. Well, it's very nice of you, Lisa. She goes on to say, but for the love of all things holy.
Knew there was a but.
Yeah, there's always a but.
Always a but.
Stop claiming. I'm doing this in all caps because that's how she wrote it. Stop claiming you've sacked the replacements. Just do it already and stop teasing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We talk about that quite often, don't we?
Yeah. Wow. She says, while you're at it, break.
It is the right time.
Break your no comedy rule and do Coneheads or Down Periscope. You know you want to. Thanks.
I agree with Coneheads, absolutely. And Down Periscope, we'll agree to,
I'm going
to
own this one. This is probably my fault. I must have, in my 17 viewings of The Replacements, I must have watched it right as a double feature with a Film Sack movie that we also sacked. And it just got stuck in my head that way.
Well, guess what? It's on HBO Max where apparently we live now. So.
Believe me, I know. I probably watched The Replacements most recently 2 months ago.
I've never seen it, I don't think.
Oh, I love it. It's
the football
movie.
Deal? Yeah, football.
I've seen it either.
Yeah, yeah. Football. Got the Keanu Reeves in it. He's the football kills his puppy. And he goes in there.
Really? Gosh, he just gets so typecast with that puppy love.
Oh, a bunch of actors I like. David Denham, John Favreau's in it, plays Bateman. I thought it said Batman at first. Let's see.
Orlando Jones, Gene Hackman.
Yeah, Ry Ziffins. I love that guy. Gene Hackman, Keanu Reeves. I don't think I've seen it. We should see it.
Sure.
Is it good?
I enjoyed that movie. It really is an example of a comedy you can sack because it's like one of those, there's this certain kind of sports comedy where it's actually about, in this case, it's about the relationship between Gene Hackman and Keanu Reeves.
And we watched The Longest Yard, right? So,
did we
do that one?
Yeah, we did.
Did we? Hold on.
We didn't watch the...
Oh, yeah, you're right. Adam Sandler
the new
one,
or the... We watched the new one, yeah.
Yeah,
new
one. Sandler one.
Not the Burt Reynolds one.
Yeah, I think.
And it's got some of Keanu's greatest quotes ever in any movies.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
It's good. I enjoyed it.
You've convinced me.
I watch it again. I'm down.
You've convinced me. 6.6 on on IMDb, and that's reasonable.
That's good range for the film.
Maybe we watch it later in football season this year.
Yeah, there we go. Perfect
fall watch. I like that. Well, anyway, thank you for your thing there, Lisa. We love it. 801-471-0462 is where to send those texts. And again, filmsack@gmail.com for your emails. I want to say hi to a couple of brand new patrons today. Tom Robinson and Val Kabalikin have joined us.
Kabalikin.
Kabalikin. You know what is Kabalikin? I did that wrong.
I'm pretty sure it is. Kabalikin. But I love the way you said it.
It could be Kabalikin. Kabalikin?
Yeah.
Balky?
Kabalikin.
I don't know.
Perfect Strangers? What? All right. Anyway.
We can't see the words you're reading.
He's
Larry.
It's Cousin Larry, everybody. They joined up. You should too. Patreon.com/filmsack. I don't remember who our next host special is. Oh, it's Dunaway, right? Aren't you coming up with something?
Me. I'm trying to work on it this weekend. That's my plan. That's what I'm doing.
All right. That's awesome. Okay. I can't wait to hear
you. I've already got the topic planned. I got some notes out. So all I got to do is do it.
You want to give anyone a hint, like a get them all pumped up, give them a little carrot?
Gee, I mean, if you haven't been following me on everything lately, if you don't know it's going to be about VHS tapes, then then you've had your head up your butt.
Yeah.
Get it out of the butt. Can you explain how rewinding is being kind? Are you going to finally explain the...
Yeah.
Tune in when you find out if I talk about be kind and rewind.
All right. Excellent. I don't want to give too much away. I love this. Anyway,
I'm really excited to be doing the bonus episode next month. You know, it's a little Sacktober bonus. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're lucky. Halloween's a perfect month.
Yes. Yes, it is. And I have a very interesting topic. So
nice. Watch for that coming up, patrons. And if you're not a patron, think of what you're missing. You're not getting this cool art in the mail that's like movie related. You're not getting these bonus shows. There's so much cool stuff. Pre-show every week. All that stuff. Go check it out. Patreon.com/filmsack. Next week, we're watching Bull Durham. Bull Durham.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's a bold girl.
Let's get some Kevin Costner on. I don't think we've done that since like Waterworld, maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the last time we had Costner.
Yeah.
I have the VHS of that.
Mm-hmm.
I have seen this movie, but it's been so long that I have no idea.
I love Bull Durham.
And we are eventually going to do The Postman, right?
Oh, hell yes.
One of these years, we're going to do like a special double feature. In a single movie,
because it's like it really is like almost 4 hours long, that movie. It's so bad.
Yeah.
But Bull Durham's great. Here's the funny irony. Today we had Scott Glenn. Next week we have some Kevin Costner in the wonderful Western Silverado. They were brothers in that movie. And Kevin Costner was the dumb brother always getting in trouble, and Scott Glenn had to break him out all the time. Anyway, so we'll do that. We'll continue the grand tradition of moving from brother to brother with Bull Durham next week, starring Kevin Costner, Susan Sarandon, and Tim Robbins, in a movie that at the time I remember people gushed over. So we'll see if it's...
This is on HBO Max, like the last one. And for the rest of like all of October, we're on HBO Max. So you can just subscribe to that one service and we're going to stay there for a while.
Yeah, feels like it's the place for our movies right now. Netflix, what's your problem? All right. That's going to do it for us. Filmsack.com is our website. Links to everything are there. And we'd love it if you left us reviews wherever you get your shows. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
He drove off the roof.
We'll see you next time.
Get more at frogpants.com.
This is where it ends.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.